The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Final hour of this Wednesday edition of the show. Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director, joins us here in the show. Mick, what's up, man?
Boys, good to see you.
So good to see you.
Even good to see that guy behind the glass.
Dylan.
I'm going to learn his name. Yeah, learn his name today.
Yeah.
Learn his name one of these times.
Most days it's not, but today's different. You know?
No, you know what? It's the best thing I see when I'm sitting here from 10 to 2. It's the best thing that sits across from me that I get to look at.
Ouch.
Present company included.
Ouch.
Sorry. Yes. Sorry, Sterling. Present company included. Yes. That's correct. Yeah.
Also have a bottle of Windex in your line of sight. Is that number two? And then some sort of snowman.
The snowman with my
face
on it.
Dressed as Walter White.
That's number two.
Yes, number two.
That's number two. The Windex, number three. The wipes.
Wipes,
number four. And
that wipe right there.
Then the TVs, number 5, 6, and 7. And then this controller right here, number 8. It's a good-looking controller. Really good-looking controller.
You're top 10.
I do feel...
You might be top 10. You know what? That's, and there's a lot of things in this room. So, being top 10 isn't bad.
Strong.
Yes.
I do feel for Mick, though, because he did have to learn multiple names relatively soon, right? It was a lot of change going on the Zone, and Mick is...
It takes me a year and a half to learn names on the Zone. So you'll be gone for another guy by the time I learn your name.
He didn't even know who Josh's name was. He was just now figuring out Josh's name.
Was he the one that had your last name?
Yes, it was Josh Anderson. And
just call him in chief or buddy or guy.
Corey
Slugger.
Briscoe. Corey Briscoe and Josh Anderson.
It's a friend.
Hey.
What's up, Slugger?
Oh, hey. It's a friend.
Hey,
of
guy.
Buddy.
Hey, guy. Hey, you.
Hey, you. Do I know you? Nope, but there you are. Hey, you. Hey, you. There you are. Do I know you? Nope, but there you are. You're right there. Mick Schaefer is with us, and we're all learning names together.
I don't know people.
What's Mick short for? Is it Mickolas?
Yes.
It's long. It's long for meh.
It is long for meh. No, it's short for Michael.
Ah.
John Michael.
And that's my middle name. Joseph is my first name. So.
Oh, like John Michael Higgins.
There's a long route to get to Mick.
I watch a lot of GSN because I'm an old man. I know John Michael Higgins from that program. Are you named after John Michael Higgins?
I'm not.
You know why he's not named after John Michael Higgins?
Bummer.
Because my name is Joseph Michael. There's that part.
That's like when my...
I'm named after Jan Michael Vincent from Airwolf.
That's great. My son's name is Everett. And this was a long time ago. He's like 5 months old.
Gerald Everett.
Yes,
got it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Everett Tiford for the Royals is what he was named after.
Nice.
Big fan of Everett Tiford. Yeah. Everett Golson, Notre Dame. Big fans. But no, I was like, somebody said, did you name him after the mountain? So I said, well, his name's Everett.
Mount Everett.
So
wow.
No, so no, I didn't name him after the mountain. So like, what?
In a way, they named the fountain. They named that mountain long before my son came around. So I did name him after that. But those are different. Those
Not
are different
honor.
Names.
I didn't
those
name
are
him
different names.
I didn't name him in honor of the mountain. But you're right. I did name him after the mountain. I also named him after you.
Maybe the joke's on you. Maybe there's some mountain in Canada named Mount Everett that everybody is beloved. Everybody knows.
They just confuse with Everest once in a while.
Jason doesn't know about Mount Everett.
What an idiot, man, this guy. That's
you're
why
like, there's got to be a Mount Everett somewhere.
That's why I asked you if he was named after the mountain. I know. You said his name is Everett.
There actually is a Mount Everett.
There's a Mount Everything.
It's a peak in Massachusetts.
We all knew that except for Jason.
It looks pretty. Look at that.
My son is pretty. It's a very, very good-looking kid, man. Is there a Mount Everything? Because, like I said, there's a Mount Everything. You know,
I'm named after. I'm short for McKinley. Mount McKinley.
I actually don't think there's a Mount Everything. I looked it up. And we're getting into coding stuff now.
You didn't know my ex-girlfriend.
What do you think of Mick? What do you think of Rashee Rice and this situation?
He's dumb. This is dumb. This happened, right? It's all allegedly alleged at this point. I mean, what are you thinking? What are you doing? We talked about it during the break. He seems like he's going down the Kareem Hunt career path, and I mean, Kareem Hunt had a lot better rookie season than he did, a much better, and he was gone in year two, right? And there are multiple incidents, and there was video involved with Kareem. There's been video involved with Rashee and the cars and who got out where and the all the damage and all that stuff. And so that always makes it worse. And, I mean, you're staring down the barrel of, what, eight? So eight felonies, we thought, from the...
So eight charges.
Felony charges from the
car
wreck.
Accident, yeah.
And this could take you into double digits.
Yeah, and two lawsuits that are total monetary of $11 million.
Yeah.
The entirety of his rookie contract, 4 years, is $6.5 million. So after 4 years, he would have made $6.5 million before taxes.
Yeah. Probably spent some of that.
I would guess. I mean, $1,700 a day.
Couple cars.
$1,700 a day on a Lamborghini seems like that's some money that he was spending. But his total rookie deal is going to be $6.5 million. He's facing $11 million in lawsuits from that wreck.
Uncle Sam yet either.
And right, and Uncle Sam and all of that stuff. Right. Plus, if there's any fine that he would have to pay to the state for the car accident outside of paying for the lawsuits for the victims of that. And now you have this alleged incident that has taken place at 2:30 in the morning at the Lit Kitchen and Lounge, which, I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I went there, I would still not have a dollar.
Well, I've been to a lot of kitchens. I was in one earlier today.
Were they lit?
They were
illuminated. Yeah,
did you lounge in one too? Did you?
I might have lounged in there.
Were any of them next to a speakeasy?
Oh no, that's how we're different.
Yep, that's exactly right. The Lit Kitchen Lounge is right next to a speakeasy. Yeah. It's kind of connected to it, so that makes sense. Now the whole thing's coming together. But I don't know if he was, putting himself in a bad situation. And, okay, he went out with friends. All right, so if he went out with friends and everything was low-key and quiet and just had some drinks, and then at 2:30 they leave and go home, he gets an Uber or something, it's no big deal, goes home, hey, nobody's talking about this. If this is something that, this photographer was sort of prodding.
Sure.
Provoking, that's the word
agitator.
I'm looking for. Agitator, rabble-rouser. If he's just trying to get a reaction out of Rashee Rice, then, maybe Rashee Rice, has to make better decisions in sort of how to comport himself when he's around that situation. Or was there an altercation that started?
Sure.
And he was defending his friend or something like that. Like, that's the information that will come out. The issue we run into is this is, 30-something days after the car accident. And the car accident was 47 days after the Super Bowl. So from the Super Bowl being the first time he's had money and was on his own, he made $2.5 million in cash last year. That was in his take-home pay. That was gross. So $2.5 million is what his cash was with signing bonus and salary last year. And after the Super Bowl and the parade, it's now the offseason. Last year's offseason, he didn't have that money. All right, he was working to then make that money. 6 weeks.
It's less than 3 months he's been a true NFL offseason guy. He's had a true NFL offseason for less than 3 months.
Yeah. 6 weeks after the Super Bowl, he gets in that car accident. And 4.5 weeks after the car accident, he has this incident as well. Like, it's 2.5 more months to training camp. And when he's suspended, he can't be around the team. He can't have contact. He can't be at the facilities. He can't do any of that stuff during a suspension. So now he's really on his own.
Yeah.
I mean, he can contact the Chiefs right now if he wants to. During the suspension, he can't. That's why I think the Chiefs go into the rest of the way not counting on Rashee Rice being a part of the team this year. I think that's the strategy. Now, if you get Rashee Rice back, hey, that's great. He slides into whatever role he was going to play anyway. But I don't know what's going to happen the next 2.5 months. If he was involved in this and he did, if information comes out that he was just being provoked and then he punches the guy and makes another poor choice, I don't know that I could trust him to not make any more poor choices the next 2.5 months.
And we talk about, putting yourself in that position, First of all, I mean, there's a lot of people that go out to bars and it's just fine. They get home just fine, and the majority of them. And there's still a lot of people out at 2 and 2:30 in the morning. I get it. Things, the later it gets, the higher the risk of bad things happening. But the first thing, it was the middle of the day driving. That's not a bad situation, right? Yeah. That is yourself making bad decisions. That's not the situation dictating something towards you. You're in the middle of the day in a big metropolitan area driving that fast with those cars and doing it. So it's like, I think a lot of times we'll like blame the situation. Why would you put yourself there? I'm like, I don't know. I was at bars this weekend and things were fine, and so were lots of people. And so it's I think it's a good way kind of to deflect sometimes when we say, don't put yourself in that situation. Like, it was the situation's fault. Or I've always liked, he's hanging around the wrong crowd. Maybe. Or maybe he's the wrong crowd.
Exactly.
It's what my wife and I have always agreed on. Like, we're never going to, my kid shouldn't have done that in class. He's hanging with the wrong kid. Or maybe he's the ringleader. We don't know. There's always a ring. Every parent always says he's hanging with the wrong crowd. Some must be wrong. There are some ringleaders.
I think you and I have probably had the same conversations on the same side of those discussions at home with things that happen at school when kids get in trouble.
Don't blame your friends.
Well, Mick knows. He was the ringleader. Mick knows from personal experience.
Right. Yes.
He was the bad influence.
That makes sense. Yeah, that was you, Mick. But that's one of the points that I made earlier. It's like, you know, well, he's just got to stop hanging out with these guys. Yeah. I'm like, well,
it's always the catching touchdown passes.
Maybe
they're the bad people.
Have to stop hanging out with
them. Right, right.
Like, how do we know the guy that was in the other car who's going to SMU and playing football? How do we know his parents aren't going, we told you about hanging out with Rasheed?
Probably exactly
we
what
told you what would happen when you we said a long time ago you need we were happy that he got drafted and he was in Kansas City, because guess what's happened this last year? You've been fine. He comes back and now this is going on. We told you about being around him. How do we know that's not the conversation going on with the friends, you know, around Rasheed Rice? Why is it always the friends issue? You know, it's like, well, if he stops, he needs to stop hanging out with those guys.
Another way to deflect.
Yeah, right.
And responsibility is what you're deflecting.
Yeah.
And in those cases, for all parties, all the parents should be saying, or all the family members, all the loved ones should be saying, no, you made the decision. You did that. Maybe it wasn't your idea, right? Maybe you're the last one in the car, but you decided to do all this, and that you need to bear responsibility.
Yeah, I will say, as you know, we talked about in the first hour, we said it a lot in the first hour, and we've said it here as well, that none of this is assumed that it happened. Allegations saying a number of times, if this took place, my overarching point on this is the trust that is or is lost from the Chiefs with Rasheed Rice. That's the main thing. If this happened and it's like, well, yeah, he punched a guy. The guy, you know, he had some swelling. So I don't know. Did he even connect? How? Maybe he should take some boxing classes if that's the best. No.
Kareem Hunt didn't connect, at least in the video altercation we saw. And that was enough.
And Rasheed Rice, we'll see what, you know, happens with that. But I do think there's an element of, from the Chiefs moving forward now, what do they do? And if Jeremy Fowler's report, or at least nugget that he dropped on Saturday about Odell Beckham Jr., the Chiefs were appealing to him, not the Chiefs were trying to bring him in. The Chiefs were a team that was enticing for Odell Beckham Jr. and a little bit of the Bills, but ultimately he chose Miami, would show that there was at least a level of interest from the Chiefs to Odell Beckham Jr. He signed on Friday. 3 days before this took place. Tyler Boyd signed yesterday.
Right around the same time.
A few hours before the news came out. And as Sterling asked me earlier, when do you think the Chiefs found out about this? My answer is,
When we did.
So they didn't know about this. And if they knew about it, maybe they're calling Tyler Boyd. Maybe they're calling Zay Jones right now and saying, hey, I know you're visiting Dallas, but, you know, don't sign anything until you come here. Okay? You get to play with Patrick Mahomes instead of Dak.
Right, we were talking before. I mean, Mahomes could take the all sunflower honorable mention wide receiver team, right? All EKL guys, right?
He kind of did.
Yeah, and go win playoff games, right? Or would you say Foxborough High School?
I can get wide receivers from Foxborough High School to run that play. Run it again,
Pat! If I did local sports up there, I would totally go to Foxborough High School and do a story on these guys and how much they love or hate the attention that they are now getting from all the Belichick stories.
I got to interview the coach. I interviewed the coach of Foxborough because Tom Brady said, I can get a coach from Foxborough High School to figure out which quarterback to put in.
Well, I would have seen the guy, interview the coach who just throws players on the bus. And like, no, our tallest receiver is 5'11". There's no chance he could do what Edelman does. Or, right,
you have way too much faith in this team. We went 3-8 last year. You have way too much faith, Bill.
Foxborough South, though, over there. I mean, they made it to the state semifinals.
Is Foxborough, is it big enough to have a few?
I think it's just one high school town.
I have no idea.
It's a tiny little hamlet. It's a New England hamlet.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those places all the houses are so old, you're like, every one of these houses is haunted.
Is there
They all have to have foundational issues. They all have to have the, anytime you step somewhere, you hear a creak, you're like, this place is going down. Yeah. We are
anybody who's ever died in this house is still in this house.
Is there a Laertes?
Excuse you?
Massachusetts. You said it was a hamlet. So I don't know if Laertes was a part of that as well, or anybody else? We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and
figure that one out.
Jamal Murray gets a $100,000 fine, and Austin Rivers says that, look, NBA players can play in the NFL.
Let's talk about that.
NFL players can't play in the NBA. And it's like I've said, radio people can do TV. TV people, no chance to
probably
do
right
radio.
There,
are you kidding me? We'll take a timeout. What's on next? All right, heading up until 2 o'clock. Jason Anderson, Sterling Holmes, Mick Schaefer, Dylan Michaels. KSHB 41 Sports Director's Mick Schaefer.
A lot of sports today.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of sports. There's some football sports.
Some local sports today.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Jamal Murray fined $100,000.
Good.
For...
Wait, $100,000?
Yeah, $100,000 for throwing
the
money sign to the ref, accusing him of being on the take, and then throwing a towel, and then throwing a heating pad that ended up making it on the floor.
Who are you?
No suspension.
Crybaby.
Was a chair next?
Bobby apparently,
Knight style? Or?
Apparently.
I can't believe with a $100,000 fine, there's no suspension. With
no
that,
suspension
huh?
whatsoever. And people are pointing out that Rudy Gobert did the dollar sign to a ref and got a $100,000 fine. So Jamal Murray did the dollar sign, threw a towel at a ref, threw a heating pad at a ref that ended up on the floor and got the same amount as Gobert got for just doing one of the three things that Jamal Murray ended up doing.
The COVID stuff with Gobert was still being added on to that.
It's a good point. Yeah, very, very good point. Also, it's game three. It's not the regular season. It's game three. They're down 0-2, and they're heading to Minnesota.
Regular season has to be a suspension.
I don't. If it was the regular season, I don't think there would have been a debate on a suspension. I think the debate would have been how many games.
Yeah.
Like, I think it would have been, is he suspended 3 games? Is this a 5-game suspension? You know, you're throwing something at an official. We're not dumb. We know he was throwing it at the official. You know, the official, like, well, we don't know what the intent was, really. Really? He could have thrown it anywhere. He just happened to throw it right at the feet of the official that was standing right there. I mean, come on. We're not dumb. And it was him throwing a little bit of a temper tantrum on the sideline because he wasn't getting they weren't getting the calls. Then he throws something in the general direction. Can we really prove it was thrown at the official? Yeah. Regular season.
He came back and threw some again. So.
Yeah, regular season, we're talking about how many games, not if there's a suspension. And postseason, $100,000 fine for a guy that's made like $100 million but still gets to play. And also, like, Draymond's suspended. And maybe there's earlier actions that, you know, hey, you're a multi-time offender.
Yes.
Draymond suspended. Patrick Beverley suspended. Other players are suspended. But Jamal Murray's not. I was not surprised. But I was disappointed in that there wasn't a suspension. I wasn't surprised because I said that my guess was they're going to fine him, but I thought they would suspend him and then an immediate appeal, and then they'll get to the appeal after the season's over.
Yeah.
And then, all right, we've suspended him 3 games for next year, first 3 games of the season, because we finally got to the appeals process, you know. We'll get to it after game
six.
It takes
so long, though. We have so much on our plate. We lead incredibly busy lives.
This is the playoffs right now. What do you want us to do right now? It's right. That's what they are. They are the playoffs right now. And they may be done in two games anyway. So just appeal, and in a couple of games, we'll suspend you.
What would the punishment have been for the 10th man on the team, right? On the bench, the guy that doesn't play.
He would have been hanging out with Jontay Porter for the rest of his career.
Right.
We got to make an example. You are banned for life. You don't treat officials like that in the NBA, sir.
We're going to make an example of Jamal Murray doing this. So we're going to suspend the 10th man on the team.
Was it Jerry Tarkanian said, there's NCAA so mad at Kentucky, they're going to put Cleveland State on probation.
Yes, that's right.
A great line. And somewhat true. Austin Rivers says that he can name 30 NBA players right now that would play in the NFL right now. And it would be an easier transition from NBA to the NFL than it would be NFL to the NBA.
I think he's closer to right than wrong. I think it would be an easier transition. One, because there's a lot of different positions in the NFL and in football. And then two, I mean, if you're in the NBA, if you're a big man, you've still got to have, you know, ball skills and be able to handle it and all that. But just kind of the arrogance there of assuming that there's not just skills involved in every single position in football and in the NFL. Like, I mean, even in the trenches, those aren't guys just running into each other, right? There's steps, there's hand placement, there is a science to all of that. So I think there's a big assumption there by Austin that, oh, no, we can do that. And also, and I know a lot of these NBA guys have played football before, but you just running full speed into other guys running full speed is not a natural thing for anybody. You have to get used to that, and these guys got used to it in high school and college, and now in the NFL, it's no big thing carrying these pads around and doing what they do, but just throwing yourself, I don't care if you're the greatest athlete in the world, throwing yourself into the NFL. We've seen it with Lewis Rees-Zamet how kind of different he is just carrying the ball and all that, and I've maintained, I mean, even with his rugby past, you have to get used to the pads on, right? Mm-hmm. And hitting in the angles. And they talked about his upright running style. That's going to change. And so that's a thing that takes time. So I think he's closer to right than wrong. I think it would be easier to go with these NBA guys and put them at DN, tight end, whatever. But it's not as cut and dry as he thinks.
Real quick, Dylan is annoyed at this.
Oh, sorry.
Dylan.
Because you can go search Draymond Green spring game. When he was at Michigan State, and you can get a good kind of taste of what it would actually look like. But I can go on every single, well, not every single, but a lot of NFL's players' IGs in the offseason. I can see them all playing basketball very well. So
yeah, but not NBA well. You're talking like high school well or D2 well.
Have you seen the video I'm speaking of with Draymond Green on the football field?
No,
well, I mean,
but
have you
I'm
seen CJ Stroud throw a baseball? I mean, it doesn't always translate.
That's the funny thing. Somebody said, yeah. And baseball's just laughing at all 60 of those
guys.
Yes,
exactly.
Right?
None of you are going to be able to come out here because you don't have to be an athlete. You have to be incredibly skilled to play baseball.
I saw Carl Loftus try and hit a softball one time.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these guys, most of these guys in all these sports were outstanding at all the other sports, right? And that's how they got there. But the deal with going from football to basketball is even the tallest guys on the football field are going to be guards in the NBA and have to be able to handle the rock, right? Yeah. And have to be able to shoot lights out to even see the floor in the NBA. Those are two big skills.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I was going to say, but then every position in basketball besides guard, what do you do with them on a football field? Because I don't see many 6'5 plus wide receivers or really any position besides defensive end.
I think what Austin Rivers said was absurd, of that he'll just find 30 NBA players and they can go play in the NFL. I think that's dumb. But if I was looking at what the easier, quote, easier, not easy, but the easier transition would be, I would sort of look at the players in the two sports that have made those transitions. How many basketball players or football players have decided to just go and play basketball and have made it? Whereas, like, Tony Gonzalez did both, Antonio Gates did both. George Fant is one that hurts the NFL's easier from NFL to NBA or whatever, is because George Fant played basketball for 4 years at WKU. And then his fifth year of eligibility, he played tight end at Western Kentucky. He's been a starting left tackle in the NFL for a number of years. And he played 1 year of football in his life as a tight end. And his size that he was in basketball, he then ate himself and lifted himself into a left tackle as opposed to a tight end, and was taught the techniques of playing that particular sport. Where basketball, there has to be an inherent athleticism, anybody but Jokic. But you have to have sort of a baseline, incredible athletic line that you have to cross. And then you have to be really skilled. And if you're not all that athletic, well, you've got to be like Jokic, who's incredibly skilled at that. And teaching the skills and the techniques of the NFL is not easy.
Yeah.
Okay, it is not easy. Are you more able to accomplish that than teaching the skills of dribbling a basketball, passing a basketball, shooting a basketball? A lot of people that have tried to play basketball in life, it's really difficult.
I think
it's obviously more difficult.
30 is a bad number because I think it's a wash, because you can find at least 30 NFL guys that were 4-star or better basketball recruits coming out of high school that could have played Division I basketball, some that did play Division I basketball, that could make that transition rather easily. Now, you got to up that number. If it's 100 or 150, then I think once you get up there, you could find more NBA guys that can make that transition to the NFL than vice versa.
I think Chris Hogan destroys the NFL. How many lacrosse players have played in the NBA? How many lacrosse players have played in the NFL?
Seven?
Answer.
Yeah, I think it's 6.5, actually.
No, but I think he's on the right track. I just don't like the arrogance behind it, but he's right. Like, 6'4"? 6'5", maybe, for wide receivers or guys who are athletic enough. Like, I'm not talking about tackles. 6'7", 6'8", is not being a center in today's NBA. That's not going to cut it at that size. There's just such a size difference from the NFL, or should I say a height difference from the NFL to the NBA. I don't think it's really close. I think there's a good amount of NBA players that could. Not saying they'd be great in the NFL by any means, but I think they could make a roster, whereas I don't think there's hardly any NFL players that could make an NBA roster.
I think if they wanted, like, I think T.O. could have, if he'd have quit football.
Are we saying just take him out of their
make
sport,
a roster,
get him onto the other team for an offseason, and will they make it?
Yeah,
is that what we're saying?
I think if Terrell Owens, in the middle of his prime, quit football and focused on basketball, because he did the tryout with the Miami Heat when he was towards the end. But in his prime, if he said, I'm done with football, I'm going to focus my entire life now to be a basketball player, not I'm going to try a little basketball while I'm a NFL football player, I think he would have made a team. I think Tony Gonzalez would have made a team if he quit football as a tight end and focused on basketball, because he did the summer league. He did the summer league when,
but Tony G was, what, 6'6"?
Right, I know. He doesn't have to be a starter and a stud. I'm saying he would make a roster. Like, he could be one of the guys sitting next
He played major Division I college basketball.
I'm just saying he could
make a roster.
He could be the guy in the crowd right next to Jamal Murray when he threw the heating pad.
Right, yes.
And be like, oh, look, there's Tony Gonzalez. I remember that guy. You know, he'd be one of those guys. Not saying he'd be out there on the court dominating and balling or anything like that, but I think he can make a roster. I think there are a number of NFL players that can make a roster in the NBA based on some size and athleticism, and guys that may have experience of playing that. I mean,
Tony G, I'm sorry. He averaged 6 points a game in college basketball. That ain't making the back end of an NBA roster. I'm sorry.
It could.
Good.
It could.
6 points, 4 boards.
I know we've touched on it.
Hey, the Pac-12 was really good back then.
He didn't make a single three at 6'6". Sorry. Sorry, fellas, that ain't touching the NBA.
He's not playing in today's NBA. He'd be playing in the early 2000s, late 90s, early 2000s, before it became an incredibly skilled game. I mean, there was skill still, but now it's like...
Why do we act like the early 2000s, it was just caveman style? It was plumbers.
Well, why do you act like early 2000s is today's basketball? It's different.
Because The Last Dance came out, and we saw the
yes,
players
the
90s. That were on the court.
We saw, like, Jeff Hornacek ain't guarding LeBron, right? And he was Byron Russell is great value Jaden McDaniels, right? And Byron Russell was like this amazing defender. Byron Russell is Aldi Jaden McDaniels in the NBA today.
The comparison should be make an NBA roster or start for an NFL team, because there's way more guys on an NFL roster, ergo making it easier to make that roster, right?
Good point.
Whether it's, 12 or 15?
Yeah.
More on a starting lineup, too. So
yeah, there's 22, right?
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
But yeah, I mean, football, the NBA guys are, they're aliens. They're freaks. I mean, just, we go in the NFL locker rooms and you get it. They're big guys and all this stuff, but you're not in awe like you are when you walk around NBA dudes and like the guys that look tiny on the court are they're 6'5", actually, okay, and they're giants, and then the 7-footers come through and just...
Remember the picture?
There's so much fewer of those guys out there, built like those guys out there, than there are NFL guys.
Remember the picture that they kept showing when Willie Cauley-Stein was in college of him playing football and jumping up for the jump ball in the end zone?
Dude,
and the guy
I
was like
him.
At his knee. He's jumping up and the guy's at his knee when he's catching the ball.
I made a horrible call. Like, he led the city in touchdown catches that year.
Yeah,
they just tossed it up to him. They got inside the 20 at a Lake Northwest, and then he was on field goal block and was really good at PAT and field goal block.
There was also a picture of him jumping to block a field goal, too.
And the guy averaged like 11 points per game in Kansas high school basketball at 6'11" or whatever. His team didn't even make state. I'm like, this kid has a better chance of playing for Kentucky football than he does basketball. And I was wrong on that one, but if he would have tried,
Cauley-Stein's been in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
That's, I'm just making
for
sure.
A long time.
Yeah, just making sure. I'm like starting to question myself. I'm he's been in the NBA.
Kings, first rounder.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I was like, this guy has a better career in football ahead of him.
Didn't he and Shields like play doubles tennis together too?
Did they really?
I don't know. Somebody had said that, and I want to see a picture of him at the net in doubles tennis.
That would be funny.
Because he lived with Shields in high school. I want to see that if they played doubles tennis together. Like, that guy would just stand there, and you couldn't lob it over him.
It was
to
hilarious.
Get it to the back.
I mean, but Kansas. High school football, I mean, your DBs, your cornerbacks are 5'11".
Yeah.
Right?
And
you're giving up a foot.
7-footer. Quite literally, you're giving up a foot. Not to mention the wingspan and when he reaches
and he's
up.
He's athletic, too, right? He's not clunky out there. No, he was a really good football player.
That's the other thing is, like, basketball players are maybe the best size and athleticism combination of sports in the world.
Let's bring it back to local here. What's happening here is Monte Harrison.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to play football.
Going from... professional baseball to Arkansas football at the age of 28.
Now what's next is basketball, like his brother.
Yeah, Shaq made the NBA.
Shaq's still in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Isn't Shaq Harrison still in the NBA? I don't know. I wouldn't be the one to tell you. I didn't. I couldn't remember if Cauley-Stein was in the damn NBA or not, and I covered the man in college. So
I remember Shaq. He was with the Suns, I know, at one point. And, can't tell you when. But I didn't know. The last time Monte had played in the majors was 22. For the Angels, just like 9 or 10 games. The COVID year, he played like half of the games for the Marlins in 2020, and then apparently just saw the writing on the wall. He was one of the best.
He's a big-time prospect.
It's either him or Bubba Starling, the best high school athlete I've ever seen.
And he was part of the Futures game when he was in the minor leagues, you know, he had come up, you know, through the years and had put up some decent numbers at times, but the numbers at the major league level weren't all that good. But that guy made the major league baseball. That guy made the show. That guy played
major league baseball
in the majors from being drafted in the second round out of Lee Summit West. He and his brother have both played professional sports.
Different
Shaq
ones
in the NBA.
Making a run at the third here.
Yeah, trying. You know what? Damn
it's
it,
hockey.
28.
Hockey's next.
Where's hockey?
Right. If anybody can do it, he can. That kid is, he was a 4-star receiver and returner from Lee Summit West.
Why didn't he go to Nebraska and play with Matt Rhule?
He was committed there.
I know. Why didn't he go there and play with Matt
Rhule? Was Rhule the coach then?
No, I'm just saying now.
10 years ago.
Since he committed to Nebraska before, why didn't he just go play with Matt Rhule and play in that offense?
I don't know. Maybe the guy that recruited him then is down at Arkansas.
Yeah, true, maybe.
Now. But
Bobby Petrino.
We've seen him for like 24, 25, even 26-year-olds. Start in college at 28, and you finish, you're going to be in your early 30s. So good luck to him. If anybody can do it, it's him. And I imagine he'll play receiver, and he's, I'm sure, in tremendous shape and probably different shape than what you need to be for football, but he's getting there early, and there you go.
He's
get
going to show up to football practice, hanging with the coaches, talking about when the interest rates are going to drop. When's the Federal Reserve going to drop these interest rates? I'm going to need you to run
mowing.
That.
I hate mowing. You guys all hate mowing your lawns,
that's
too, guys.
The worst, right? You guys, right? And the, there's a water leak. Where's it coming from? I don't have the money to pay to figure this out, right, guys?
Yeah.
Right?
It'll be like, this Gen Z. Look at these. Look at these
millennials.
Sophomores and juniors.
You millennials.
I know I'm a freshman. He'll be older than some coaches.
I was going to say the grad student coaches will be like, Monty, I'm going to need you to go over here. I'm going to need you to shut up there, youngin'. Yeah. All right, little whippersnapper. Don't tell me what to do.
It's Mr. Monte. It's Mr.
Mr. Harrison to you.
Mr. Harrison is my father.
So. Yeah, that's why I'm talking to you. I thought you were the father. Peter McAllister, the father. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. More Zone next. All right, hanging out on this Wednesday edition of The Zone. Jason Anderson, Sterling Holmes, Mick Schaefer, KSHB 41 Sports Director, Dylan Michaels. All right, Mick, we talked about this in the noon hour, I think, for a little bit. And that is the roast of Tom Brady got so much attention and reaction that there's already been discussions of Netflix thinking of who the next one will be.
So Peyton's had one already?
No. Peyton has been involved in two. Peyton was one of the people that roasted Rob Lowe.
Brady said Peyton had his 8 years ago or whatever.
Has Peyton? I don't think Peyton's been roasted, right? Has Peyton been roasted?
I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either.
But he acted like, oh, this has already happened for Peyton.
He was involved in the roast of Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Which may have been like 8 years ago. Okay. I don't know, when Comedy Central was doing the roasts yearly. And so Peyton was the guy that but it's a good point when Tom Brady said that. But it was like, okay, who do you think's going to be next? My guess would have been Peyton because he's been involved in two different roasts already.
Yeah.
Like he's funny. And I think he's got the personality to take the jokes. There's plenty of jokes that can be made about Peyton Manning. And so that was my pick, as in like who would be the most likely. He is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He's the ninth betting favorite at Bet Online.
Sport?
Just for sports. Yeah.
Any sport?
The next athlete.
Is Tiger Woods up there?
Tiger's up there. LeBron's the leader at plus 400.
Okay. So these guys don't have to be retired right now.
No, it can be just the next one. And LeBron was the closest was the betting favorite at plus 400.
I mean, both those guys, just a ton of built-in material.
Yes.
Ton of material like Tom had.
The next up, Chuck and Shaq are tied at plus 500.
Those would be great ones.
And we talked about maybe it's a duel, maybe just the two of them. But I want to see Chuck up there roasting somebody. I want to see Charles Barkley.
What about Caitlyn Jenner?
Caitlyn, she was a part of the
list.
She was the Alec Baldwin one. She was part of the Alec Baldwin one. Yeah, she was a good sport about it too. I'll just say that. But Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, The Rock at plus 600 is the fourth betting favorite.
He counts as an athlete?
Yeah. Travis Kelce, fifth betting favorite at plus 800. And then
that to be in a couple of years when he's retired.
Michael Strahan, the sixth betting favorite. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, the seventh betting favorite at plus 900.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then Peyton Manning, Stephen A. Smith, and Phil Mickelson round out the top 10 betting favorites there. So Peyton Manning comes in at number seven, I guess that would be. 4, 6, 7, 8. Number 8 is Peyton Manning. A little bit of a surprise. Who would you want to see?
Because
you mentioned Tiger first.
Tiger is up there. LeBron would be up there.
You said Tiger as well. Yeah. Tiger's the 12th betting favorite.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? He's the ninth betting.
Jason?
No, he's the ninth. He's tied, though. The odds are tied with Stephen A. It's listed in order, but the odds are tied. So Stephen A., Phil Mickelson, Steph, and Tiger are all tied.
Gotcha.
At plus 1,200 behind Peyton Manning.
Mike Tyson could be up there. Yes. Would anybody have the cojones to...
No,
coming in.
No, I don't. No, I feel like if I say something about Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, I could probably hold my own. Tyson, no, I'm not doing it. Not doing it, even
Tyson,
as an older man.
Tyson was on the roast of Charlie Sheen, so he's been there.
Yeah,
and people did.
Oh, really?
I'm sure take swings, but probably not big ones.
No, not literally either. Tyreek Hill is plus 20,000.
What do you think about Shannon Sharp, Mick? We'll Skip Bayless and Stephen A.
That'd be good because he's witty and funny. I think Peyton would be my first pick because although Tiger's a lot funnier than people give him credit
I think he's way more in a position now and open to being roasted than in the mid 2000s.
But Peyton might be the funniest athlete of all time. He's got the chops.
Yep.
So, and you just let Jeff Ross host it all. We don't need
the Roastmaster
General.
Second
host. That was weird.
Roastmaster General.
I like Nikki Glaser, too. I think she's starting to earn her way into the circle of roast trust over here.
Yeah. Circle of trust, yes.
Yeah. Get Jezelnik back in it, too, if he wants to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was her third roast in all of these, was Nikki Glaser.
Schultz was great, too.
Yeah, he was really good.
I didn't know him or Hinchcliffe guy.
They were really good. They might have been the top two and Glaser. Like, those would be the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever order
all
you want to put
them
in.
All those comedians, they did well.
Shocker. Yeah, whatever order you want to put those three in, Hinchcliffe, Schultz, or Glaser, I'm fine, whatever.
Who's that, that right? Burt guy?
Burt. Kreischer.
Burt Kreischer. And what's
Burt Kreischer.
Tom Segura.
Two bears, one cave.
Yep. Not for me.
No.
It looked very awkward. It looked very uncomfortable watching.
Yeah, they tried to do something different. Segura is funny. Kreischer, it was funny. I love your joke. Because he does his stand-up shirtless, basically.
Shirtless, yeah, he always ends up like a bear.
He's okay, but I think Segura is way better than him.
Okay, because yeah. I've never heard them before, and I watched and I go, I feel uncomfortable watching this. Something's off between this thing.
Easier transition, NBA to the NFL, NFL to the NBA, or NBA/NFL to comedy?
I think that's going to be the hardest.
Ooh,
or
comedy.
To rapping.
Oh, yeah. No, comic. To then playing in the NBA or the NFL.
TV to radio or radio to TV, Mick?
Radio, I've said this forever, is harder than TV, but we have a lot more stuff to do. You guys don't do much, what? But your skill is greater than our skill. Look at you guys just sitting here. You had one sheet, that was your prep work for today? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But I couldn't talk for 4 hours straight. I'm like, over there.
Yeah, people love it.